who the state is even. They are specifically requesting to do this in the letter. They are not saying in the letter, we want you to open up all sorts of misrepresentation proceedings. They're saying, we obviously that by giving calling them the opportunity to have a second life at the Apple, we will open up the second life. And that in our view is another request for to be part of public participation, and on that basis, otherwise, to the case of transition is to allow the request. So it's only about 10-7 weeks for you and for the committee to decide on the way forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member, there's a report of what happened, and the legal opinion is sent. Did you distribute copies? Hello?
No, Chair. The working mechanism from our office is that we present to the Chair, and it's only on the Chairperson's instruction, because that's the client that will be certain. We are not at liberty to make the copies, because that would be a breach of our relationship with the client requesting the legal opinion.
Okay. No, thank you. I said let us make the copies available to members. Colleagues.
Let's check before, and whatever the committee decides, we don't want to get into that. But rather just to, in taking that decision, the committee must bear in mind that Paul Benjamin came here as part of the Department of Labor. It's not him as an individual who came. He's a technical, he's a legal advisor of the Department of Labor. Because there was a technical issue that we needed to answer the Department of Labor, we brought him to assist us. It's not that he came here as an individual. And I just wanted to explain that part so that when members make a decision and understand on what basis was Paul Benjamin here.
Thank you, Mkhali. Honourable members, this is our matter. Hello? Can we have one meeting, please? This is a matter of members of parliament. We got a legal opinion from our lawyers. We got to apply our minds as members of parliament on this matter. That's the report as given by Advocate Gordon. Honourable Nyagamba, your hand was up.
Thank you very much. I think the issue of the recording of the proceedings is very clear. Newspapers can come here and put things the way they want to. We don't rely on that. There's electronic recording here which assists the committee secretary. I think that's one. So if we are still waiting for the minutes of the proceedings from the right people who are taking records of what we are discussing here. On the question, Chairperson, of Paul Benjamin, it was not Paul Benjamin alone. The guy who represented business, NetBank, was there. The only one who was not here is the one who represented labor, NetBank. But the two lawyers said they met the three of them and then looked at the issues and then the three of them agreed. So, to give them an opportunity, PMG will also write that Musa was given an opportunity, and then Kosatu comes, and then the other party comes. So, for me, we are not going to entertain that. They were given an opportunity. They were part of NetLeg. From NetLeg, there were public hearings. They came here and made their presentation. So nothing will change the thinking of the members of parliament. So, Chair, for me, there's no need of them coming back to make any presentation. Thank you.
Comments and opinions from members. Honorable Funder Radeza. Followed by Honorable William.
Thank you, Chairperson. From my side, I feel the standard input should be that there's been a public, an opportunity for public input, and that window period is not officially closed. People are still able to approach us as individuals, etc. They are still able to circulate documents to all members of the party, etc. But the, what we cannot afford if we want to proceed is then, you know, if Busanya comes and addresses us, I think Labour will have a very good case. But listen, now that you've given the one party an opportunity, what about us? And I think everyone will be on I hope it's not my voice. So, unfortunately, we haven't seen Busa's letter. So I would like to know if there's a particular aspect of Benjamin's input where they feel that, you know, it was misrepresenting what is in the law or some, or what has been said in the negotiations, etc. But in general, I am extremely reluctant to allow one party now to come again. And it's not only Busan, it's not only, there are various organizations representing business interests, and there are various organizations representing labor's interests. So, unless there's a very good case to be made up, I want to accept that the people came here with legal advice, and that that legal advice was stemming from the original drafters of this bill, and that it should be seen in that light, and that we therefore cannot entertain Busa's question. Thank you.
Honorable Williams.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask before that copies have been made of both the legal opinion and the Busa letter. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I agree with both of the previous speakers. I think that opportunity has been afforded for organizations to make representations to this committee, and if we go back and allow them to come back again, we're going to just open it all up again, and it'll take us forever to get to move forward on this. So I don't think that we, I think we should just continue, and Busa have made a written submission to us, and we can look at that again, but I don't think we should open it again, because everybody will come back. We'll have public hearings again. Thank you.
Any other comments from the members? Honorable Khanar.
I agree with Honorable Williams. That we should not set a very bad precedent.
Let's switch off and use another machine, because your thing is not working very well.
No, my thing is working very well.
Honorable Khanar.
Chair, I was saying I apologize for being late, but I must start by agreeing with Honorable Williams. I also don't see any need for us to entertain any submission at this moment. And even if you photocopy their submission, the fact that you are doing that and you are distributing it means that you are entertaining it. And I think that's wrong to do that, because why do you treat them differently from the way you treat other people who also make submissions to this group?
I'm going to try and answer you on this one, Hanar. If there's a correspondence that comes to the committee, that correspondence has to be given to members of the committee. It is addressed to me, but it's about us. So there can be nothing about you without you knowing about it. So, are there further comments on this one before I give over to the... let's hear Ms. Williams.
I just also want to tell the committee that in terms of the way the parliamentary process works, we have the National Assembly and we have the NCOP as well. So this bill will go to the NCOP as well. So I just want the committee to keep that in mind.
No, we said last time when we said last time that we would have been informed before Paul Benjamin comes here. You know, that if you are to invite any other person apart from this team, tell us on time so that we know what are the issues that they are going to talk about. And then we'll look at the implications of why invite this one and not invite the other, you know, so that we don't get surprises like this one. And I think it was agreed upon last time. And the other is that we have a legal team here, the Parliament's legal team. This is the only legal team that will advise us on whether these things are correct. You know, we can have many other lawyers, but there is a lawyer that is appointed for us in this Parliament. And when we look for legal opinion, we'll get it from them. And any change of any legal opinion can only be changed by the members and not any other lawyer. I think we should do it that way. And that if a legal opinion is given, you can't bring other lawyers to come and engage with that legal opinion. Yet you can only engage us. Is there any other hand on this matter? Let me give over to Honorable Lyon.
Thank you, sir. Sir, on this issue, I must put with you. Because the way I understood it was, the department and the state law advisors could not agree on that specific matter. So the department went back to their lawyers.
Can you give the honorable member a chance to...
I understood it. The department went back to their lawyers and they said that they will come back with the view of their lawyers. So the way you put it now is if the department went and go and get their own opinion without consulting, it just don't sound right. Thank you.
Is there another comment on this one? I'll talk to what you have said later. Can I give over to Advocate Gordon?
Thank you, sir. My comment was not in respect of what the member raised. It was just to alert members that when they are furnished with copies of the legal opinion written document, a member will note that paragraph 14 of the opinion quotes a bit of judgment and it gives the parameter of public participation. And the last part of that quote, if I just may, Chair, reads, it is plain that by imposing on Parliament the obligation to facilitate public involvement in its processes, the Constitution sets a base standard that leaves Parliament significant leeway in fulfilling it. And I think, Chair, that even though the opinion says afford Bruce the opportunity to come before the committee, what paragraph 14 is actually allowing the members to do is the discussion that happened today. This is only advice, but if the members are sufficiently of the opinion that as the discussions have, that perhaps Bruce has been given an opportunity, there's a misconception, that is where clause 14 will allow the members to do that. So I'm comfortable that notwithstanding the opinion, listening to the debate by members this morning on the context of how this happened, the misconception that's being created in Bruce's eyes that the committee has maybe in a slanted way allowed one party to come before it when Bruce has not been given the opportunity, and perhaps that perception needs to be corrected to Bruce. Thank you.
And actually, I think what we need to do is to make Bruce aware that their lawyer was part, came here with Paul Benjamin. There was no person who was giving an advantage over the next person, over the other. And if their lawyer decided to keep quiet and not rectify the correct mistakes, you know, it's not upon us to do that. I think there's sufficient evidence for me to show that there was fairness here. It wasn't only the Labour's lawyer who came to address us. It was Busa's lawyer and our lawyer, after consulting with all other members of the team who gave them mandate to come and raise the issues and clarify us here. So I'll say that for me, I want us to engage looking at it that way before we round up and move on. On the line, you had your hand up again.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, mine will be that that issue on that was discussed was not a matter between BUSA, the department, and the portfolio committee. That's why I think we can't respond or reply to BUSA saying that your lawyer was part of the discussion. All we need to say is that the department had their own little opinion and their own lawyer. And that was the view of their lawyer. Not that it's an issue between BUSA, the department, and the portfolio committee. That will create something new on its own. Thank you.
Honorable Masrum.
Unless I'm becoming regimental, I feel not satisfied. Anyway, I don't have to. But if you remember, I was not taken on board why a lawyer from the Limpopo was not selected in that meeting. Because Paul Benjamin said he is in agreement with us, but he was not there. He didn't hear me exactly saying that. And I was not persuaded adequately, so why was that? The lawyer from the league was not present. He said on his behalf he was in agreement. He wasn't there.
Thank you, Honorable Basrumul. Honorable Nyagamba.
Thank you, sir. If there's a need of explaining the misunderstanding on the side of BUSA, I think parliamentary legal advisor will assist in that respect. Because for me, that's the only thing that needs to be done. Because if I recall, the reason for the department to bring Pedamin and the other lawyers that they were together at NEDLEC, it was because of the amendment on Section 193 and 94. Where there was a reference to the Constitution, then the department wanted also for their lawyer and the lawyer of that president business. So for me, I think that's what needs to be done. Sir. We can't draft a letter as the committee, but I think the parliamentary legal advisors will assist you. Remember, the letter is addressed to you, then now you heard what it said, then now obviously the parliamentary legal advisor will draft that letter, which at the end of the day, in fact, in your name, the person who was responding to Musa. Thank you, sir.
Are there comments on this one before we move on? Honorable Senator,
I must just say that I hope that the PME recordings of this meeting will be accurate.
On a very lighter note, you are protected. Yeah, it's clear. We're not going to call BUSA here. But at the same time, I think we need to say that if BUSA has interest in monitoring what is happening here, they can send somebody to come and sit in these meetings. Like other interested parties send their people to come and monitor what is happening. So they are free to do that. And if they are here and they want to say something and we feel that it's do you want to chair this meeting? I've given other people a chance to speak in this meeting who are not members of parliament. And if your memory serves you well, there's a person who spoke in this meeting, and anyone who comes here and wants to say something that makes sense to us, we can allow the person to speak. Nothing stops us from doing that. This is our process. And in this process, as members of parliament, we can allow any other person to address us on any matter that concerns, that we feel will help us to move forward. Let us, you members can go through those committees for your information. Let's move over to the business of the day, if this...
the two of us are at a disadvantage. We are sitting very far from you. So we don't know what actually happened that you changed your mood. And we are caught by surprise.
Now for information, I left my mood at home. I wanted to bring it here with me, but you see, I can share it with you next tomorrow if you want me to bring it.
Okay.
Can we move over to the basic conditions of employment? And we have a working document. One, we made input last week, and the result thereof is what is in your, what's on your desk. Can we give over to who is going to take us through, Advocate Gordon to take us through the document, the working document.
That I'm on the right page, literally. We are dealing with the working document, the one with a front cover that looks like this, with the yellow and gray. That is 7 November, and if memory serves me correct, last week we ended at clause 7, and so this morning we will be starting at clause 8. In the working document, that would be page 4.
Page 4.
Page 4 of the working document, clause 8. The document dated 7th November in respect of the basic conditions of employment act. Chairperson, if I may, as indicated last week, a lot of the issues in basic conditions of employment amendment were not really legal concerns. They were more discussions that the MISDIC committee had, rather discussions that had taken place in the committee previously, and all that the working document does to refresh members' minds on the discussions that had taken place, and particularly in Clause 8, which refers to Section 55 of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the two contentious issues that members were to make a decision on were the issues of the proposed increases by way of minimum rates or a minimum increase. That's not a legal concern, but that's really for committee for the deliberation by the members. And then the second issue in Clause 8 refers to the proposed amendment to Section 55(4)(g), which refers to the subcontracting issue. I would presume that as a stage for me to put my mic open to the members on the quiz, because they're not legal issues, they're purely just matters for the committee to deliberate.
Members, we are definitely making progress. Yes, we are making progress. Yeah, we've made progress in your absence. Would you bring again? Yeah, that's it, the honorable members. Clause 7 and 8, no, 7 is okay, no issues, but the sexual determination, 55, bracket 4B, G. Yeah. These are not legal methods. I think they are. Or let's start with 55-4B. Yeah, I think let's start from the beginning with you know, the adjustment by minimum rates and then the increases for that. And we are dealing with any determination in the farming industry. You know, the minister is dealing with that. So, just in the form of, you know, like refreshing members' memories, the acting minister is waiting for the minister to set. Could the all determination suspend it, put it on hold, and then ask for the committee to sit and then come up with a new central determination? Mkali, do you want to comment on this one? And maybe it will help us break the ice.
Well, I'm not sure where the ice is
exactly.
My colleague has explained the principle of the bill, of the changes that we want to make. Remember when we're explaining this in the, when we're explaining the bill, the record is mentioned presently, only increases minimum wages. And the issue that we're trying to deal with is saying that in the farming sector or in the domestic sector, you've got a situation, you might have a situation where people earn just a little bit above the minimum. Let us say they earn 1,600 and the minimum is 1,000. And the minimum is increased by another 7% to 1,580. Technically, those people are not entitled to any increase. And this, we're saying that will allow the minister to adjust even the actual wages by the rate of inflation. That's the intention of this proposal. And probably at the end of the meeting, I could just give a further information on the members on the farming sector, the publication, and all where are we with that. But at the end of the debate, just 5 minutes presentation.
You know, there was no one who was opposed to them to adjustments. I mean, you are adjusting to the certain, to the inflation rate as the prices of food goes up and transport and others. So you've got to, you know, if it's 6%, then you up it by 6%. It's not a controversial. It's not a, you know, there are no issues on this one. Unless if there's anyone who's got an issue with this before we move on. But there's no one. No eyes. Invisible. Not invisible eyes. Yeah. And then what else after this? Because we're taking this class 8, all of it. Is it okay with members? All right. It will be as is. Is there any other issue that needs to be discussed on this one except this? I think we are done with the basic conditions of employment. Unless if there's something else that you want to raise. Advocate Gordon.
Thank you. If members do look at the report, the rest of the provisions were not contentious from a legal perspective, but in clause 18 of the document, which is on page 6, this is a proposal that the short title be amended, because currently the short title in bill does not have that highlights that the grey bit, which is standard, which is, we should give a direction on how the air comes into operation. So that's just the standard drafting, not rocket science, just all the balls look like that. It reads that this act is called this, and comes into operation on a date fixed by the President by proclamation in the Gazette, so that we know that is how this law enters into force. And obviously members have to agree to, because that will affect the ALIF and a people on the basic conditions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, I suppose that we agree with the highlighted part on clause 18. Thank you.
Yeah, member, Honourable.
That's what the record says. Well, the record will reflect if we agree on clause 8 and jump to clause 18. So I just wanted to say, clause 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, including 18, we agree.
Yeah, we could agree. I agree too. And then that leaves us with, okay, we are done with the basic conditions of employment.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Like the next year, Karma.
Okay.
Next year, can we take a 10-minute break to yeah, so that we can consult a little bit on where to go. This was a long break. We are done with the problematic issues with the basic conditions of employment bill. Now, like the state law advisor, to take us clause by clause. Remember that some of the changes we are going to do is just change of the thin ways, replacing this one with that. It's a formulation thing. It's not. These are not legal issues. And then after that we'll have a working paper B. We'll have a B, document B, to work from. We have an A, then we'll have a B, whatever they are called. Let me give over to... Albert Gordon, want to say something before?
I just wanted to amplify that. The document that is currently before the members on top headed working draft 19 November, is the document that the special advisor is going to be speaking to. And this is essentially not a draft of a document. It is now called an A-list. And this A-list contains the proposed changes that the committee would agree to in principle. And this process is important because an agreement in principle allows us to run what is called a CLEDA print. And then the final voting on the bill takes place in the A-list and a B-bill as produced by CLEDA. So we would need this agreement in principle to go into the next and final phase of the voting on the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Now she has brought Krita in now. I don't even know her. But welcome, Krita. William. No, no, no. There's no man with such.
Thanks, Chief. I think Gordon had explained this is now the document proposed. This is how it will be reflected on the A list. So this is a copy of that. The first one is in clause 2. If the members go to clause 2 on page 3, clause 2 of the bold page 3, in line 40. After if you look at that, this is the proposed subsection 33A. Sorry. Yeah, this is the document here, the proposed A here. The document which was circulated by the committee for 15. It's the fact that, Thank you. And just to further fact, the way this is going to be read now, is if we look at the A list, it will start on page 3. That page 3 is in the bill. Mm-hmm. So go on page 3 in line 14 of the bill. Mm-hmm. So that's what that reference refers to. So you have to read the document now and you and the bill in the other hand to understand how the talk goes on.
And if anybody needs me to talk at any time, just feel free to stop me at any time. Okay. Because I always can get confused looking at the lines and looking at the words. Okay. So the first one will be clause 2 on page 3 of the book. On page 3, this is item 1 under clause 2. On page 3, in line 14, look at line 14 of the book. The lines are numbered in 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, so the gaps in between. You try and 14, the other one line just above 15. After if, we see the word if, but that should be before the hyphen. Okay. So after if you look at C, the C that used to be there before, we just shifted that C to after if. Okay. Because that C would be applicable to both A and B. And because it's applicable to both A and B, we shifted it to after if. So with these changes could be, after if to insert the purchase is not prohibited by any other statute and the employee receives a financial benefit for participating in the scheme or the price of any goods, product or services provided through the scheme is fair and reasonable. So it doesn't change anything, it just shifts it around. So essentially it stays the same. So clause on page 3 in line 14 after if to insert the purchase is not prohibited by any other statute. The committee agrees on that. The first item, one.
Hello, silence will mean agreement, and if there is objective, we object. We agree.
I think I like that. Works for me. It doesn't always mean consent, it might mean something else, confused or Honorable Williams, where do you want?
Chairperson, I just want to say that clause 2, 1, 2, 3, and 4, we can agree on all of those. Just, that's what we've just gone through. Yeah, so I say we agree. I propose that we agree on all clause 2, 1, 2, 3, and 4. We agree?
We all go agree. Okay, let's move on.
If he agrees, I agree. Everybody agrees.
Okay, you and me. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you disagree, we will never agree.
Yeah.
I don't like
Thanks, Jay. Clause 3, on page 3, in line 23. We've inserted just to indicate the changes. After no, we've inserted, instead of saying a person, we said subject to section 50, subsection 2, paragraph B, a person must not require or permit a child to work if the child is under 15 years of age or who is under the minimum school leaving age in terms of any law. So to give effect to that, we've amended, we've adopted amendments to say on page 3, in line 23 to omit A. We've underlined A because the word A is underlined in line 23. A is a substitute, subject to section 52B. The A, the capital A, we changed it to a small letter A because it's no longer pronounced and said it.
Honorable Nyakema.
I agree, sir.
Honorable Harar.
No, I agree.
No, I agree.
I don't agree with Nyakema, but I agree with what is here. I don't agree with Nyakema, I only agree with the text.
Let us move on.
Thank you. So what's subject to section 52B, comma A will be underlined. Okay, it's not underlined in this document, but will be underlined as proof that we take. Okay, thanks. Then clause 18, as Advocate Borden explained to the committee earlier, that should be at the end of the bill, which is called the short title. So should we go to page, on page 7. In, because this page doesn't have line numbers, the lines are not numbered because of the table, we don't put the numbers, so we go directly to the clause. On page 7 in clause 18, after 2012, that should be before the full stop, we insert comma and comes into operation on the date fixed by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. You've noted that in this bill, we don't use the word government Gazette, we just use the word Gazette. The reason for that is in the Principal Act, they only refer to Gazette. So we do it in keeping with the Principal Act, but usually in legislative drafting practice currently, we just use the word Gazette, but because in the labor relations, the Principal Act still refers to government Gazette, so we keep the wording of the Principal Act. So that's why that one has government Gazette, and in this case, we just have Gazette because the Principal Act just refers to Gazette. Okay. Thanks, Chair.
William. we agree. It's the real we. Okay, there's an agreement on this one. All right. Advocate Gordon.
Thank you, Jeff. I'd also like to place on record that when the committee does agree to changes in principle on an A list, when we go back to our desks and we draft and we pick up that there are changes in the objects memorandum, we do that consequentially. We don't table that before the committee, but just to know that if there are slight tweaks and changes to the objects memo, that will be in work that we do behind the scenes, and that would maybe be like, for instance, the fact that clause 3 is not linked to section 50. The objects memo wouldn't have said that. We just tweak that sentence, but it's not part of the A list. Thank you.
You see what our agreements are doing now? There are going to be decisions taken behind the iron curtain. We have given that mandate. So, yeah. Was there any other hand to this? Yeah, no hand. Okay, let's move on. Is it done?
It's done.
We are through.
We can take another one.
You very much. Thank you. What would it go in?
Yes, just to place the record that we have an agreement in principle. The process for it is that we now go to a company called Krida, and they run things for us. It will be identical to what the members have agreed on this morning. Now, the parliamentary process determines that in order for us to get to the second reading debate and for members not to find that when they're having speeches that they're standing with the incorrect version of bills, that we have to have another meeting where we come back with the clear prints. And that is so that members can satisfy themselves that what we are now doing behind the scenes is a true reflection of what the members have voted on. So in the next meeting is when the members now have the A list as printed by CLEDA, and what the final bill in the National Assembly, the B bill, will look like for the purpose of debate in the second reading. And at that point, the members say agree to, and we all walk and we know that we're all on the same page. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, at this time, I have opportunity to put in a passionate plea for 6 months to be changed to 12 months, etc.
There was a, I just, can somebody take us through the brief between the two of you about the superior bill, court bill? Because I think it's at an advanced stage and...
Thank you, Chair. In respect of the Labour Relations Amendment Bill, there were certain issues that we identified in the working draft, contentious issues. Two big issues that came out of the LRA. One was the inclusion of certain provisions that mirrored provisions in the Superior Court Bill relating to the Labour Court and judges, and then Clause 38, which related to high income earners. But in respect of the clauses that are currently in the Superior Court Bill, I've just got confirmation this morning from our office, the Board Office in Parliament, that judges reported on the Superior Court Bill yesterday. The CLEDA prints on the Superior Court Bill are, I currently have it, they just forwarded to me this morning. And what I note in the CLEDA print is that Schedule 2 of the Superior Court Bill that justices are reporting on has not been changed. But the fact that this bill has been reported on means that the clauses in the LRA now have to be rejected because we are sitting with duplicates of clauses that are already up for second reading debate in the National Assembly. So all the revisions that we've identified in the working draft that where we said that our view was that it was unconstitutional, but notwithstanding that justice has now in any case voted on those clauses, that it now has to come out of the bill, the LRA, before this committee. So, I don't know if you want to highlight the clauses or...
Thank you. What I did in the draft A-list for the Labour Relations Act, for only those clauses which were duplicated in the Superior Court bill, we've rejected, but I never rejected everything which related to that, but only those which were duplicated, I rejected those clauses in the Labour Relations, so we don't have that duplication.
Honourable Mata.
Thank you, Chair. Just so that it's unclear what we did here in terms of the basic conditions of employment. What we were doing, my understanding is that we were cleaning up the document. We were not agreeing on the clauses. Am I not clear? We were supposed to be doing clean up what I call housekeeping, that the bill is right, the A is a capital A or a small A, stuff like that. And then we have to do clause by clause, in other words, take these things clause by clause and agree, yes, no, yes, no. Have we done that? Because as far as I know, we haven't done it.
Any other comment on this one? We haven't voted on the clauses, but have made changes on the clauses. We have crossed the T's and dotted the I's. We still have to vote on. No. Line by line, and when we come to 6 months, we are going to read that line and see if we agree with that line. I think that is where we are now. Yeah. Honourable Nyakema. After Nyakema, obviously, I will have Honourable Khanar.
Not, I think it was correct what Honorable Mutau raised in order for us to move with same understanding that what's going to happen now is edges that we're looking at now going to crater, it will come back. The final will vote on each clause. But one thing that has seen there is that there's an interest on the 6 months issue. Everybody when make reference to us voting, the issue is six months, 12 months. There's nobody to talk about 3 months and no months.
No, but that one is golden. It's called an acquittal. If you are not sentenced to anything, you are acquitted, you go home. Other members, the program. The program. You remember we went to visit farms in the Western Cape. And before we even get a report on the follow-up that the department was supposed to do, they found an eruption in the, you know, in the farming sector in the Western Cape. So we need to speed this thing up because we're supposed to have had this meeting last week with the department, but there was a communication thingy. They didn't know that they were supposed to be here. And I saw that I told them that they need to be here. But fortunately, or most unfortunately, then the quarrels happened and the department had to, you know, yeah, to be there. So it was some form of a blessing in disguise. Let's give them a time, a date. When will you like this report back to be given? And it's not the only one. There's the meeting with the oversight follow-up with the PC on agriculture. That's some of the issues. And then an outstanding matter that has been with us for a long time, the compensation fund, that we need to check what is this that we can do to help the compensation fund to take off. It's like, you know, like a run to the liter. Yeah, I mean, let us look at for next week. And what it means is that when we go on recess, the committee will continue to work. We'll have to do some work, at least push so that next year we don't have a heavy load on our backs. We can be able to go, to oversight. We are far behind when it comes to oversight, the oversight role that we play over the department and industry. That's it, honorable members, before we close for the day.
Chairman, I have feedback from the progress department of
Okay. Now, that one came as a remark from what I said in the opening remarks. So, but if we really want to do that, we can ask him to prefer us about what is happening. And if it will even touch on other labor and rent. Honorable Fender, the decision.
Chief, before we, because I think Mr. Mukalipi is going to have the last word as usual. I just want to ask, Chair, thank you very much for saying we are going to continue to work and we're going to fit in a number of oversight visits. Can we please request the committee secretary to forward to us a program, because we need to plan our diaries for, you know, the rest of the year as well as early next year when we have committee, because many people want us to come and visit them and see them, and it's very difficult if we don't know whether we're available or not. That's my first request. The second thing is just, Chairperson, as you know, Honorable Mutau and myself only joined this meeting earlier, this Kopilo committee earlier this year, and the department has been so kind on a previous occasion to introduce us to the rant in the lid, as you call it, the compensation fund, the unemployment insurance fund, etc. I have taken the liberty of approaching Mr. Kola Nene with a request for the 30th of this month, which is next Friday, not this one, the one thereafter, if they would be so kind to introduce us to NetBlack, the CTMA, and if possible, even some of the sheltered employment factories in Johannesburg. and the department has been so kind to extend an invitation to us to come and visit and be introduced to them. Obviously, I just want the committee to take note of that. We're doing this at our own cost, but if there are other members who are also in the same position as us, who have never been to the CCMA's head office, never been to NECLAC's offices, and who would like to join us, you are more than welcome. I mean, the department is setting some senior officials aside. They are taking some of their valuable time to meet with us, and obviously if we can have more value out of that visit for more members, we would really welcome the opportunity. It's not the opposition leading government, it is members of the portfolio committee who wishes to be introduced and wants to know more. So please, I think the correct protocol would be for such members to approach Mr. Mnene and say, well, we also would like to join you on that session.
Okay.
Thank you. I hear the member next to me is already gearing up for Marawi, but I was thinking it was only starting in December.
It has to be live after Marawi.
And before Marawi as well. Thank you, sir.
Honorable, there is the shelter employment factory in Marawi, for your information. So I'm sure Comrade Shea was talking about that one. Don't forget Marawi.
It seems to me you mean some of the ANC delegates will be needing shop in front.
Okay. No problem, and then he's going to have the last word. I've raised this issue with meeting with the Western Cape department, I mean the regional office, about our last visit to the farms. We need feedback in terms of what are the follow-ups, what are the changes, are there still problems, do we need to go in and revisit those areas. So it was difficult when we were invited by the Committee on Agriculture to go up to the door and say, what are we going to do there? You know, we were there, we gave our report, there are things that need to be done, there's an uprising now in the area, we haven't even got a report on, you know, the follow-ups and all that. Now we can go back there now, after we have received this report. I think that will be helpful if there is need for us to go there. I've mentioned Western Cape farms visit, fisheries. There was a visit before, I think 2 years ago, to the fisheries, and we need to get an update on what has happened since then and what is happening now, so that we actually assess the are we making progress, are we winning, or are things moving from bad to worse. We need to do this thing quickly because, you know, the way things are going, there's an uprising every day. We went to the farms have erupted. And who knows, the next one could be the fisheries. So the sooner we move, the better. Honorable members, so when do you want us to do this? Is it the first week of December that we spend most of our time tying this, finishing, completing unfinished business, including minutes of the last meeting? So if you give that mandate, we can draft a program with the secretary for the next week. Let's say the first week of December for that part, and then. Yeah, and even adopt some of the minutes. And is there any other comment on this one or a disagreement about working into December? Yet.
In December, one has been by the first, on the first, or after the first.
Please be with us in this meeting. The first week of December, we're working.
In the last day. Because you say in December. In December, my meeting is midnight on the last day of November. It's in December.
I don't go to night vigils anymore, Comrade Bhatti, so I will be asleep by that time. All members, let's give over to Mkhalipi. Just
Because he'll be worried when the chair talk about visiting other sectors. Because when the committee visited the farm then 3 months later.
Are you crazy? Yes, look, fish
Remember, last week I reported about the development in the farming sector, what we thought we were doing, and we indicated that we were thinking of issuing two notices, and that we did on Friday. The notices we issued on Friday. The intention to review a sector determination, and the intention to cancel if the notice, if there's a need be, and we might not even go there. I'm just putting it for safety's sake if we need to. The next thing that we did, we had meeting with, on the same day that we were here, we had a meeting with COSATU, discussing the same process that we would have, the leader of the labor component, COSATU. And the following day, that was last week, Monday, we met with Agri South Africa, and the intention of the meeting with Agri South Africa was to explain also to them the process that we want to take place. And we're stressing the issue to parties is that it's going to be easy for us to bring a certain determination if there's agreement between the parties. Remember, last week we reported that Agri South Africa was not prepared to negotiate, saying that they don't have a mandate. And then the following day on Monday they said there's no more a problem, all workers have gone back, there's no need to, there's nothing to talk about. In our meeting we said to them, you got an option. You could let us as bureaucrats decide, or you could, as people involved in the sector, indicate to us a recent agreement and indicate which way this should go. You put an opportunity to influence that process. Therefore, we're asking you to come into a negotiation with an open mind in order to start genuine negotiations. And after that meeting with Agri South Africa, we met, they had their own meeting with all the other farm unions. We came, they invited us in that meeting also so that we don't have to meet Dau and others separately. We met all of them and we explained the process to all of them, and they all accepted the process. And as a result of that, the first meeting for actual negotiations is taking place on Thursday. We called what we call an eight aside, eight from the farmers union and eight from the workers side, and they must sort out themselves who makes up that eight, whether it's PASOK, whether it's COSATU, whether it's what. And we wanted a small committee because we didn't want a general meeting of everybody because it's not conducive to negotiations. And that meeting is going to take place in our provincial office here in Cape Town on Thursday. And on Thursday, 6 o'clock, the first public hearing is taking place in Worcester. And the public hearing is to give an opportunity to workers, because as you all know, most of the time it's going to be employers who write for submission. Workers don't normally write for submission, therefore we give them an opportunity to talk to us through the public hearings, which will be on Thursday, 6 in Worcester. And the following day, we're meeting with the farm owners, also in the form of a public hearing, in the same area, And on Saturday, there's public hearings in KZN. We're waiting for dates from other provinces to come back to us in terms of when are we going to have these dates in the other centers. And we hope by end of day today, we'll have all the dates in terms of where we're going to have and the venues where we're going to have public hearings going forward. And that's basically the situation. Now we will report to the meeting next week on the development of this week, where we're going with the negotiation. Remember, whatever information that we give, negotiations sometimes are delicate stages, confidentiality in terms of parties saying, but if there's anything that we can divulge with the committee in confidence, we'll give that information, if they are not resolved by then. And the intention is to try and see if the first price for us is an agreement between the parties. If there's an argument between the parties, then it makes it easier to review the sector determination earlier than 1st of March. If there's no agreement between the parties, it makes it a little bit difficult to review earlier. And that's why we'll be putting all our hopes on the negotiation process. And that negotiation will be conciliated by the CCMA. If the CCMA come in and they will run a negotiation, not a part, and will be part of it, but they will be, the CCMA will be doing conciliation.
Thank you, Mr. Honorable Mutau.
The public hearings, especially for labor, or is it anybody that can come to Worcester on Thursday, 6 o'clock? Just where are you on Friday? And then on Saturday you say you're located then.
I think, yes, normally public hearings are open to anybody, but we would prefer to talk to workers. That's our first price. We would prefer to be talking to workers direct. And to them, explaining the process for them and where we're going and all of these issues. But obviously, we can't ask anybody to leave public hearings. And the following one for farm owners, we do not know the venue yet. We've left that to Agri South Africa to determine the venue and also invite farmers within the area. Therefore, we're waiting for them. If they say to us it's going to be water, we'll go wherever they say it is within the area. That's Friday, yeah, Friday morning, anytime Friday day. We don't know the time, we don't know the venue. I'm sure we'll hear, they'll tell us on Thursday when we meet, start the negotiations. But they've accepted that responsibility of bringing farmers in and giving us a venue. In Cable End, it's for workers, Saturday 1. I think that the farm owners will be the following day.
Yeah, but they are called public hearings, so if you see yourself as part of that public, you can go and attend. But, but you can't speak because you are not working on the farm.
Yeah.
Or the being observer. Honorable Funder,
just sorry, but this is one opportunity to get from the horse's mouth. What's happening? You say no? Well, it just kicked me under the table.
It's a very long neck.
On Friday, you say you issue notices of the department's intent to start reviewing the minimum wage. Was it specific only for the agriculture sector, farm worker sector? And why do you say notices? Meaning, is there more than one statutory requirement or?
The first, I mean, remember last week we indicated the dilemma with the timing that we've got, when we indicated that we're toying with the idea if it comes to a push of cancelling the private sector determination. That's what we said last week, with the transparent and open on these issues and the problem that we're having. Therefore, the notices that we've published now are two notices. One, it's a notice that is an ask interested party to comment on the intention of the minister to review sector determination. And it gave terms of reference of that reviewer. And it says, review sector. It's not confined anyway to reviewing the whole sector determination. And that notice we publish is the notice of the intention of the minister to cancel the private sector determination, giving parties also the opportunity to comment on the desirability, non-desirability, whatever it is for the minister to consider. Those are the notices that we publish. And the notices are applicable to all her provinces. It's not only the Western Cape, because the sector determination applies to all provinces. We don't have a sector determination that applies in one province at this stage. We had, I think about 2 or 3 years ago, we had a sector determination that differentiated between province A and province B, between the provinces. And the parties came back and said, no, they want a sector determination that covers same factors, and we know that now they are called for deportation, but we hear what comes in the public. But I'm assuming that for workers, workers are not going to be that educated and talk about deportation. They're only interested in the review. There will be, parties that are asking for issues of deportation.
Honourable members, we'll meet again on the 28th. Yeah. The venue will be M515. Yeah, we'll be discussing the. I think we'll see what we do. I'm not quite sure what.